Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic book and go into it in detail. Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Steven Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson.
Hello.
And this week we're looking at a much anticipated book, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency from IDW Publishing. Yes, this is number one. Now, who is Dirk Gently, you ask?
I'll tell you.
Dirk Gently is a holistic detective. Duh. Right?
Right. He's a detective who believes in the interconnectedness of all things. And he investigates things generally by not investigating them. Real name is Vlad Chelly.
It kind of depends on how you're approaching that. I mean, if he believes in the interconnectedness of all things, by simply following his nose, he's going to bump into a clue that connects one case to another or whatever he's investigating to another. So I just happen to have right here next to me my first edition copy of Douglas Adams, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, came out in 1987. I'm going to bet that, and I'm trying to remember how I found this, because I was really into, obviously, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy stuff, and I must have been at the library at some point when they said, oh, you know, there is a new Douglas Adams book coming out, because I would have been 17. I wouldn't have been off to college yet, and this is a first edition, so this isn't something that I would have bought several years later. So my guess is I got it at the library first, liked it so much that I turned around and bought the book a short while later. Yeah. And then it wasn't until I was in college that his second book, The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul, came out. Right. And I jumped on board that. So just so you're aware, listeners, if you are a fan of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, this first issue of the comic book from IDW Publishing is not an adaptation of the first book by Douglas Adams.
Right.
So do kind of keep that in mind. And it's not even an adaptation of the second novel of Dirk's adventures, nor is it an adaptation of the television series, nor is it an adaptation of the previous comic book that came before it.
No.
This is something all new, all different. And it takes place in IDW Publishing's backyard, San Diego.
Which is weird because Dirk's from Britain.
Yeah, well, that's part of the case, right?
Is it?
I don't know. He says that he's in San Diego because it's all part of a case he's working on or a case that it's leading up to.
Right.
And it's a different book. It's really more of a happenstance, if you wanted to look at it this way. Dirk makes his way off of an airplane, takes a bag. We find out that there are two people that the bag belongs to that he bumps into. They try to give pursuit. Turns out that these two are serial killers.
Right.
And Dirk stumbles into the case kind of backwards and also kind of on purpose.
Now, one thing that does strike me, I'm almost certain that in the first book that they kept describing Dirk as fairly rotund.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was supposed to be a chubby guy. That's how I always...
That's what I thought, too. And I always thought of him as a chubby guy, kind of a heavyset guy in a big, ugly coat and sometimes a hideous hat. This incarnation of Dirk is pretty thin. And in some of the cover art, actually, looks like David Tennant.
To a little extent, yes.
Kind of funny to me. But yes, so that's the first thing you're going to look at. If you, like me, think of Dirk Gently as a portly gentleman, a stout fellow, something like an English big bopper with bad hair, which is how he looks in my head, that is one thing that will be slightly different for this adaptation.
I'm trying to find the passage here that describes him. I mean, you're not introduced to Dirk until well past chapter 4. Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the early portion of that book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
having
so,
to deal with
yeah, I've always not seen him with the raggedy mop of hair, or at least the pompadour that he's in, the big sideburns that he's got going on here in this
right.
book. So that's going to be something that takes a little getting used to. And the artist, who does a fine job, at times reminds me of the guy that did Lock and Key.
Rodriguez.
What's that?
I think his name is Rodriguez, isn't it?
Gabriel Rodriguez, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So there are times where the art looks surprisingly like that. And that kind of threw me for a little bit here and there. Because
it reminds me a little bit of, I think it's, is it John Layman who draws Chew?
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of that going on, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the overall story? I mean, it's a lot of setup. Dirk kind of finds a new location. He winds up in a tea shop, a coffee shop that has a detective theme, and he decides to make that his new home base. A homeless person is murdered, and we meet some wannabe serial killers.
I have... this is the thing. This is a perfectly okay story.
Yeah.
What it is not is a story as... inexplicably bizarre and interesting as the work of Douglas Adams. The first Dirk Gently book especially... makes Dirk a much less likable and much less focused character. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, this version of Dirk seems to be pretty, you know, pretty straightforward. Pretty much, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go here, or I'm going to go and then I'm wherever I end up is where I need to be, which feels a little bit more task oriented and a little bit less feckless than I expected. Again, it's a perfectly good story. I haven't seen the Dirk Gently television show either.
Apparently, it's on either Hulu or Amazon.
I have one of those. I may have both of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't actually, you know, watched it, though. So I don't know. This is my problem with it. It's a perfectly good story. It's actually got some really clever bits in it. But I'm looking at it from the perspective of this is a character created and written by Douglas Adams. And it's really hard to divorce myself from this is not written like Douglas Adams, because frankly, Douglas Adams, really, really good. One of the many, many people that I might accidentally call a genius and have you mock me.
Oh, I wouldn't mock you on that.
Oh, that
I
that.
Mock you on many other things, but I do think Douglas Adams did many, many a great thing in his time. This is what this is how he's described in the book. Yeah. Popularly known as Dirk, though again, popular was hardly right. Notorious, certainly. Sought after, endless speculated about. Those two were true. But popular, only in the sense that a serious accident on the motorway might be popular. Everyone slows down to have a good look. But no one will get too close to the flames. Infamous was more like it. Sflagelly, infamously known as Dirk. He was rounder than the average undergraduate and wore more hats. That is to say, he just wore the one hat which he habitually wore. But he wore it with such passion that was rare in one so young. That's it. That's how they describe him. Rounder than your average undergraduate.
Okay. So that explains why I think of him as kind of portly.
They may go into greater detail later, but this was the first appearance of him. It does talk about a flappy leather coat. But that's about it.
Flappy leather coat, which we do have here, kind of a yellow looking coat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, the story, I guess I had a hard time because it for one part, it felt like they were trying to write everybody as English.
Right.
and that wouldn't be consistent with the setting. I can see three of the characters that we meet in here having a British accent, or an English accent, and the rest, not so much. That being said, the dialogue was written. There are plenty of interesting characters that we can follow. I'm interested to see where this goes. But I don't know. There's something about the way Dirk is drawn that bothers me. And that's the only thing that I have as a big complaint, is he looks a little bit different. He doesn't look anything like the person who was on, the BBC series, which is fine. Right. But he doesn't strike me as the Dirk of my mind from, you know, however many years it's been, almost what, 30 years, 87. Yeah. Almost 30 years, 28 years ago.
That's the danger of these type of adaptations.
Yes, definitely.
When it's something that we're adapting, say the X-Files, if a character doesn't look like Gillian Anderson, it's a problem.
Right.
If the X-Files were a radio program and you and I had completely different Gillian Andersons, the opposite problem, well, the opposite direction, same problem.
Well,
it doesn't fit our expectation of the visual of the character.
I seem to remember at one point that was one of the big complaints about, was it DC Comics Hitchhiker's Guide adaptation, or was that Marvel that did that?
DC, yeah. They're whacked out Ford.
Yes, uh-huh.
Wow.
Which was...
looked like a circus clown.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people will either get that from the book or not get that from the book, or it's a clear artist interpretation, or they've watched, you know, somebody watched the BBC series, the television series, and always had that kind of Alice Cooper look going on for their man with two heads. So, you know, I can be pretty forgiving with the art in this, in, you know, who's to say what's on model in this case.
Right.
I would say he's consistent from panel to panel. I think everybody's consistent. Everybody seems to have some weird hair. Everybody has crazy hair, whether it be Dirk's pompadour or the two girls in the tea house, or even the serial killer lady. They all have just these really strange,
super poofy.
Yeah, haircuts and styles. So,
which then to me kind of undermines one thing, in that I think Dirk's hair is specifically drawn to look weird, to make us to remind us that Dirk is our weird main protagonist.
Yeah.
But then having everyone else with strange hair as well, and I don't necessarily, this is me complaining. Got through the issue, enjoyed parts of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was really likable. When you use the words serial killer,
yes,
in any story, I am immediately suspicious. It is immediately something where I'm like, okay, where, what? Okay, this could go really, really bad. And we're kind of, you know, skateboarding down the interstate at this point. When they haven't fallen off the skateboard, that's the thing. But I have this sort of worry of falling off the skateboard when it comes to, you know, putting a character like Dirk, who is basically, again, kind of a feckless, weird guy who wears brown pants and a blue jacket, kind of like Carl. You remember Carl? Actually, my mental image of Dirk actually resembles Carl.
Really?
Yeah, Carl has this big floofy beard now.
Yeah, I know, because the picture that Carl took this weekend after he took his top knot out,
yeah,
it looks nothing like the Dirk Gently I would ever imagine. Not saying that there's anything wrong with the way that Carl looks,
right,
but that is not who I picture with for Dirk. Who would I picture Carl as? He did remind me of something quite
sort of a bleached John Belushi.
Maybe, I don't know. No, not even that. There's somebody that he kind of struck me as, and I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. That's a good look for him. So, I can understand the trepidation about a serial killer, but it's not like IDW has shied away from stories that feature a serial killer as the bad guy many, many times. And with these two, it's more along the lines of they are trying to emulate their favorite serial killers, or doing whatever famous serial killers have done in the past, you know, killing homeless people, killing a clown, whatever. And so they're trying to do that. So they're almost like fans. What was that movie where the two were in the car driving around?
Oh, Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, Natural Born Killers. They almost
seem
like that.
They're sort of like, they're almost comedy serial killers.
Yes, they are.
Which makes it even scarier.
Yes, it does. I think the writing was fine. I didn't have a problem with the flow. I'm on board. I'm going to read all the issues. I will say this. I like this book better, and my reaction was much, much, much more positive than when I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in that prestige format, and I was like, fudge. I already pre-ordered all three issues of this thing, or however many issues there were.
Say fudge.
I know. And I didn't want to put my local comic shop out of business because they had already ordered everything by the time the first one came in. So I was stuck with those three issues.
Reversing one order could theoretically have put them out of business.
With whatever it was, a $5 book at the time, yes.
Yeah, it was like $4.95.
Yeah, I think so. It was, I mean, it was a prestige format stuff. So I was stuck with all three issues of that, which was fine, but I did not read past the first issue on that one. This one I'm willing to go. I think this is a four-issue miniseries, I think is what it is. So I'm all on board this, and I want to read more, and I want to see how Dirk puts it together. And if you have watched, for those listeners out there, and I know several of you have commented on Twitter or sent us email saying, but I told Matthew that it was on Hulu, or I told you guys it was here. I've seen all of the episodes to date, and I like the flow and direction, even though none of them are based off of Douglas's works, to my knowledge. I thought they were fine, and I thought they were interesting and fun. So I'm hoping that this book turns into that as well. It's kind of shaping up to be that way. And so I'm saying that this is a thumbs up for me. If you're a fan of Dirk Gently, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think this brings another layer to the stories that are out there. And sadly, because Douglas Adams is no longer with us, we won't have any more Douglas Adams written Dirk Gently Holistic Detective Agencies.
Which makes me really sad. Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah, you're welcome. And hey, this is coming. I guess Towel Day is coming up this week. May 25th is Towel Day. So put it over your head. And
they just make this stuff up now.
They make stuff up all the time. In
it was
regards,
Miracle Monday, and then there was
why was it
Star
Miracle
Wars
Monday?
Day.
Well, Miracle May the 4th. Monday. Yeah, what's Miracle Monday?
Miracle Monday is the date from the Superman novel Miracle Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there you go. Well, then you also have other things like International Pancake Day, Cookie Day. Yeah, look it up. It's an actual date. It's an actual thing. there's Cookie Day.
Right.
Take your daughter to work day. That's a day. So you can have days over. You can have a day off in anything. So when people poo poo a lot of those things, it's just like, oh, you don't know how to have fun.
Stick a lit candle up your nose day.
I'm sure that's a day somewhere. Yeah. I'm sure that is a day somewhere. So my recommendation on this one is a thumbs up. What about you, Matthew?
I will give it a tentative thumbs up. There's nothing here that immediately goes, ho, 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 you have killed Dirk Gently. There's a lot of things
about which
I am nervous. And that's the thing about nervous is you can be as nervous as you want, but if the story actually works, I think we're good. So far, this issue holds it together. And even with any issues that I might have about what he does or doesn't look like, I think that the issue is consistent enough artistically and story-wise that, yeah, I'll give it a tentative thumbs, like, mostly up with a bit of existential terror, which is kind of fitting a Dirk Gently story.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, though, if you are not familiar with Dirk Gently and you do pick up this book, this comic book this week, I would encourage you to go and look for both of the original novels that Douglas Adams wrote. The first one, the Holistic Detective Agency, is an adaptation, or it's the reworking of an old Doctor Who story that never got to air that Douglas Adams had written. And once you start reading it and knowing that stuff, you start to see all the fourth Doctor stuff running around.
Yeah.
And kind of keeping that in mind, too. And that may be one of the reasons why the character looks so different. If you're going through this and thinking, oh, this is Tom Baker, then, you know, suddenly Dirk takes on a whole different look.
Ooh.
But I like this one just because of the way that the music ties into it, the time travel aspect, just everything about this is just very, very cool. I also really like The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul, which features a very sad Thor running around South London or something.
And of course, being chased by an eagle.
Yes. And then don't forget the wandering Coca-Cola machine that happens to pop in and out, and the sofa in the staircase.
Right. How to get there.
That's all answered in Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
That's how it got there.
Yep. Yep.
The second one is still good. Not as good as the first.
No, I don't think it's as good as the first one, but the first one, man, I've read that one many, many a time. And let me smell. Doesn't smell, doesn't quite have the old book smell yet to it. It's getting there.
You don't want old book smell, though. Old book,
I know, that's the moldy kind of stuff.
Stock is breaking down.
This one kind of smells like... It's got a little bit of a hint of like... A little bit of a hint of mildew, but not quite. It's almost like...
A tiny hint of mint.
No, it's not mint. I'm trying to think. It's almost like this was in a cardboard box for a long time, which it probably was for several years when I was moving from East Coast to West Coast and then back here. But it has that smell of just being unpackaged from a cardboard box that's been in storage for a while. But it doesn't have a mildewy smell, and it doesn't have the old book smell. So kind of put that together, kids. Yeah. Not bad for a 28-year-old book that's still got its original slipcover or whatever that's called.
You know what? If it were a 28-year-old...
Is it called a slipcover? What is it called?
I call it a book jacket.
The book jacket. There you go.
But then again, you know, I've smelled...
No. It's the jacket. No. That's right. That's right.
Hi there. How are you?
No. That's right. So there you go. And I've got the other one, too. And it's just as good a condition. So I love my book. And I bought this in 1987. And the original cost $14.95 for a 247 page hardbound book.
$14.95.
Wow. And I may have even gotten a Good Guy discount back in the day. Who knows?
Good Guy discount.
Speaking of Good Guy discounts, coming up next week from Dark Horse Comics, Captain Midnight number 23, the complete Pistol Whip hardcover, Conan the Avenger number 14. Let's see, Mr. X Raised, number 4. Tomb Raider, number 16, all comes out next week from Dark Horse Comics. DC Comics, oh man, they're getting closer. Next week is the final issue of Convergence.
Oh. Are you sure?
Well, unless it's going on past issue 8. I thought it was only an 8-issue miniseries.
Next week is issue 7.
No, issue 7 is this week. Issue 8 is next week.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting we're in the future.
Yes. So the 27th, we're looking at the week of May 27th. Convergence number 8 comes out. No, that's all right. Then we've got Action Comics, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Crime Syndicate, Detective Comics, Infinity Inc., Justice Society of America, Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters, Shazam, and World's Finest Comics all come out next week under the Convergence banner. Kind of interested to see, just out of like morbid curiosity, mm-hmm. what happens in Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. Booster Gold seems to be the one that ties in the most to the main continuity.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but who knows at this point. Are you agree with me that most of the books you've been reading, most of the second issues, are at least reviewing them on the site? Are you agreeing that there is not really that big of a tie-in to the main books?
No, and a lot of these books don't even have an ending.
I know, right?
That's most frustrating.
Yeah.
The one that I really didn't expect to enjoy but found myself liking... Supergirl Matrix.
Oh, really? Did she finally tell Lex off?
Featured her chasing Ambush Bug all over Convergence.
Oh, interesting.
So Ambush Bug was teleporting from city to city and Supergirl was chasing him. It's the only time that I've run into so far that we've actually done more than city versus city type thing.
Booster did that where he bounced around.
Did he?
He bounced around from his book over to a couple of cities and then he landed up in the Blue Beetle book and before he bounced out again.
Yeah, Justice League International, weirdly, was also a Blue Beetle book.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Justice League International is Ted Kord, Bwahaha Ted Kord.
Right.
Blue Beetle in the Blue Beetle book is Earth 4 or whatever Earth that was. Earth 4?
That's also Charlton. Ted Kord.
I know, but the Charlton Silver Age Ted Kord.
Oh.
Before he became the Bwahaha Ted Kord.
Back when he was ha-ha-ha Ted Kord?
Yeah, when he was just ha-ha Ted Kord.
Tee-hee.
Yes, there is also He-Man, The Eternity War number 6 that comes out, Sandman Overture number 5, and Suiciders number 4 comes out next week from DC Comics. IDW Publishing has G.I. Joe Real American Hero number 213. That's a second printing there.
Wow.
Infinity Loop number 2, Jack Kirby's Commandy Artist Edition Hardcover Volume 1. That's a Please Inquire book, so I think those are around... Don't quote me on this, but they're between $100 and $150, I think, for those. So if you want them, get them. But they are essentially taking the original art pages those 11 by 14 pages, whatever size that is, and scanning them and putting them in. So you see if there's any whiteout, if there was anything pasted on top, any of that stuff. You can see that in those artist edition books. They're great. I've got a couple of them. I just think they're wonderful. Let's see. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ongoing number 46 comes out next week. Edward Scissorhands number 8 comes out next week.
Wow.
Image Comics has Black Science number 13, Chew number 49, Deadly Class number 13, Invincible 120, Outcast by Kirkman and Azi Sieta. I forget how to say his name.
Azaceta. Azaceta?
There you go. Postal number 4, Sex number 21, Sons of the Devil number 1. They're Not Like Us number 6.
Sons of the Devil!
Bow, 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 bow. Marvel Comics has the all-new Hawkeye number 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
The final issue of the previous Hawkeye volume is supposed to be out in the next few weeks.
Let's see if I can just, no, they don't even have Hawkeye coming to the other one coming out. Black Widow number 18. Giant Size X-Men 40th Anniversary hardcover. That's a $39.95 book. Mm-hmm. Iron Fist, The Living Weapon number 12. MODOK Assassin number 1. That's a Secret War.
MODOK Assassin.
Let's do that one.
MODOK Assassin?
Yeah, MODOK Assassin number 1.
MODOK Assassin.
It's probably going to be better than Nova 31 or Old Man Logan number 1, which we could also do, Matthew.
I'm sorry, are you threatening me?
Where Monsters Dwell number 1. What is that? What is Where Monsters Dwell? What is that a take
Where
on?
The Monsters Dwell. Well, Where Monsters Dwell traditionally was a Bronze Age Marvel horror anthology.
Ah, okay. So then that must be what that one is.
I wonder if it's not something with the Legion of Monsters.
It might be. I think we have a sneak peek of that either on the site right now or just the other day we had one up on the site and I wasn't paying attention to it. but I do remember seeing that come across my desk. In fact, it may still be sitting in my email.
Secret Wars, Correspondence, Where Monsters Dwell.
Yeah, that's all right. And
Garth Ennis loves dinosaurs.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, is that the one with the flying guys on the cover? Oh, I think that if that's it, that one may be pretty interesting.
I think it's biplanes versus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. I think a lot of people are looking forward to that one. Yeah,
I had not heard about this one. Man, I just got to start reading the previews again each month. I keep getting surprised.
Well, we do run those as we get them from the publisher. So this week we have already had Dark Horse and Marvel. And I think as of today, now don't quote me on this, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe DC Comics goes up today or tomorrow. So you'll be able to find that on the Major Spoiler site or last week, depending on when you're here. But so far we have IDW, Image, Dark Horse, Marvel, DC, and then a lot of the smaller publishers that send us their monthly solicitations that appear in previews. So you can always go over to majorspoilers.com. And if you go under the section called, let's see, I think it's under columns. No. Somewhere on the site, you will find the solicitations category. I thought we had it. I changed the main menu around a little bit. And so, used to be the solicitations used to be right under the new comic book releases, but I think I took it out from there. But you can go over there and find those solicitations each month and know what's coming up from each publisher. Or you could just go get your copy of previews from your LCS. Some of them give it to you for free. Some of them charge you a little bit of money. Just depends on the comic book store. But that's I got to get my orders in, man.
I know you're getting behind.
They are. I'm waiting. I was waiting. I expected to get an email from my guy this morning saying, hey, get your order in to me. Yep.
Steven's got a guy.
I got a guy in another city who sends me stuff.
A glass guy.
Yep. All right. So it looks like we're doing MODOK Assassin number 1. That's all part of the Secret Wars coming up next week from Marvel Comics.
Yep.
Anything else? What was your first experience with Dirk Gently? Do you remember your first reading of Dirk Gently?
I honestly didn't care for Dirk Gently the first time I read it. And the reason
why. You know what? Okay, go ahead.
I was stuck in a Hitchhiker's vein, and I really, really,
yes.
really.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, a lot of kids our age did hit Hitchhikers really hard.
Yes.
And totally loved that book. It was a huge to-do around 1984, 85. Mm-hmm. I think actually before the third book even came out, everybody was passing around the first and second, but I may be wrong on that. But yeah, and once I actually sat down and read through it and got past the, you know, the worry of this isn't Ford Prefect, which is really a stupid thing to worry about. I freely admit that. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But again, it's one of those books where it's got a very peculiar tone to it. It's got a very strange kind of lyrical vibe, and I really like it. But it's also something where you're like, man, this is a weird book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't understand why I like this book.
So, yeah, until a few years later when you found out, hey, this is Doctor Who.
Hey, I'm glad, everything.
I'm glad you brought up the whole point. Well, isn't the third Hitchhiker's book is also a Doctor Who book, right?
Yes, Doctor Who and the Cricket Men became the restaurant at the end of the universe, I believe.
No, that was issue. That was number two.
Oh, Life, the Universe, and Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that one's even a little bit more difficult because it has Ford Prefect actively fighting the plot and poor Slarty Bartfast being forced to try and take the role of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And clearly hating it.
Yeah.
It's almost as though Slarty Bartfast is mad at the writer for forcing him to do this.
Oh, yeah. There are passages where he just, you know, he falls back into the Chesterfield or whatever, exasperated or whatever. It's just like, you know.
And you feel bad for poor Slarty. It's just not his gig.
Yeah.
But he's the only one who could have done it.
Well, I'm glad you said that you didn't like Dirk initially because it wasn't Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I think the reason why I liked it so much was, you know, there's a point in your life, and this happens to all pop culture things. It happens to everybody in all groups. It doesn't matter who you are. You find something that you like that no one else knows about. And that was me when I found Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when I was in fifth grade, I think. And, you know, nobody else knew about it. And then as I got a little bit older, more people started to know about it. And I'd gone to a Doctor Who convention up in Kansas City, and more people were into it. And I was like, wow, there are a lot of people who are really into this Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy stuff. And then suddenly here comes Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, written by the same guy, but not Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I said, oh, this will be my new cool little thing that will be mine and no one else's.
Right.
And it's kind of stuck that way for a while, it seems.
It was your hipster thing.
I think so. I don't know if I would classify it as the hipster thing, but I think we all go through that where it's like, I want this to be my special thing and I don't want to share it with everyone else.
That's what the Legion was for me for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you found out I like Legion and then you're like, oh, it's been ruined for me. Ruined, I say.
It's okay. You like the wrong Legion.
No, I like the cool Legion.
No.
I like Censor Girl, who's a snake.
Censor Girl as a snake is okay. She's not Censor Girl, but that's not an argument we need to have here.
Sure it is. It all ties back into Convergence.
Everything ties back into Convergence.
Well, and now we'll see how that happens in a couple of weeks, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll probably talk about it somewhere down the road. I know Matthew and I can probably talk about it.
We're going to complain.
We're probably not going to talk about it on the Major Spoilers podcast because Rodrigo and Zach have no idea. I know neither one of them have been reading anything
and
DC.
We are so averse to having discussions that Rodrigo and Zach don't know why we're arguing.
Well, I like to include people as much as I can and try to get as much input from people.
Right. You want to balance.
But I feel bad when it's just like, you know, these guys have come over. Granted, I am paying them. But they're coming over. And they just sit there for a half hour, and I feel bad that they're just sitting there for a half hour text messaging or, you know, doing whatever they do.
Drinking all your soda, eating all your
Zach's doing all the Snapchatting.
Does he have a Snapchat?
I don't know. I don't want to find out because I don't want to accidentally hit his kick page or his Snapchat and see something I don't want to see.
He doesn't Snapchat to anybody but Mrs. Zach.
I'm sure. Zach's not here to defend himself, so I won't try to guess. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for downloading, listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast with a friend. We enjoy doing this each week, and we can only do it from the fine support of Major Spoilers VIPs like you. What? What's that? You're not a Major Spoilers VIP. That's okay. We don't mind if you grab this. That's why we're creating it and putting it out there for free. But if you would like to see this show continue and you would like to help us out, point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. If you only like this show and none of the other 10 shows that we produce on a weekly basis at majorspoilers.com, if you don't like any of the other 10 shows, but you only like Dueling Reviews, your $2 a month contribution is essentially paying, what is that, 50 cents per episode.
There you go.
50 cents per episode, a quarter for Matthew, a quarter for me. We can go, you know, we can save that up over the week and we can buy some ramen at the end of the month.
It's true.
Every little bit helps, listeners, and we need your help. And so I'm hoping that more of you become Major Spoilers VIPs. Oh, man, over 800 of you so far are supporting our cause, and we appreciate every single one of you. Head over to members.majorspoilers.com. Check out all of the extra bonus stuff that you get, including the flashback podcast that we do. Well, that we did now that the season's over. But go check out the flashback podcast and all the other things that we have over there at members.majorspoilers.com. And until next time, when you hear Matthew say...
Hey, look over there.
This is Dueling Reviews. Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.